All right, great. Grab a seat. So true, isn't it? Oh my goodness. Today, I was actually supposed to speak last week, and we were away and it got bumped to this week, and I'm so glad I get to speak today. This topic is so fill in the blank. Father's Day. Fathers. God the Father. It's just so amazing, and I am aware and trust that for some it's a day of joy. I know people whose fathers are their best friends, and I know for others it's a day sometimes of grief. I know for sure one thing, it's a time of reflection for all of us, isn't it? If we're here, there was a father involved. And whether your relationship with your father is healthy, strained, or non-existent, the message is for you today. Sam Garrison, who's a principal, inner city Newark, was sharing with me how some of his kids in his school, when asked to, I guess, talk about your father or mention him, how the thought is almost regurgitating, as if I got you right, Sam, on that, like, just my father, my father, and yeah, you can do it better than me, my father. And again, all the colors of the rainbow to my friend Chip Mitchell, whose father was his best friend, and I just love that. I love that he had that. And so we're somewhere in between there, and then we've got God our Father, and it's so much to cover. We're gonna walk through one of the most powerful stories Jesus ever told, and it all centers around the phrase we often overlook, he came to his senses. Okay? And this message is for every father and every child who longs for connection, for understanding, for healing, and for those of us who've had to realize that the way forward is to give grace. So let's start. First thing, let's just talk about is coming to our senses. Let's go ahead and read. Open up to Luke 15. I've got a paper Bible today. This makes my wife so happy. Can I just tell you, my wife, honey, I got a paper Bible up here. I know you're so happy. All right, baby. All right, Luke 15. Here we go. Verse 11. There was a young man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out as a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his, he said, "Holy cow! How many?" I tried to do that and see, I lost my way. Yeah, paper Bible. It's like my phone turned off here. All right, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer to be worthy to call your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up with that strategy and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, the strategy he had figured out, right? The son said, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Verse 22. But the father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put it on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Doesn't end there. Meanwhile, there is another brother. He's called the older son. We don't know his name. But he was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on? Your brother's come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So, what does this look like today? It's not just realizing that you're in a bad place. It's the moment you finally see life, your father, and your past, and your choices clearly. Today, coming to your senses might look like sitting in silence and realizing how bitter you've become. Waking up from years of pride and seeing yourself in need of mercy, admitting that your dad didn't have the tools, and maybe you don't either, for those fathers out there. Acknowledging the damage done, not just to you, but maybe by you. It's not just about shame, it's about clarity. It's that sacred moment when truth hits you in a wave, and for the first time, you want to go back. You want to reconnect. You want things to be made right. And what does this son say in the moment? "I'm not worthy. Just make me a servant." That's what unworthiness sounds like. That's what shame does. That's what happens when we've been hurt or we've done hurting to others. Sometimes the wounds of our past leave us saying, "Let's just be civil." You know how many families settle for civil? "Let us just get through dinner. Let's just get through this weekend. Let's just get through Father's Day. Let's just survive the holidays." But that's not restoration. You know what that is? It's survival. And God is after so much more than survival. So, part two, we're gonna talk about the running father here. "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him." Let that sink in for just a moment. There's a couple of things here that I, just as a son, never got. And I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I had a great father. He just, kind of like I said earlier, I just had to realize the tools that were available for him. I don't think he ever got one either. I never got a hug from my dad, never got a kiss from my dad. I don't know if this man ever did either, but it's pretty compassionate feeling, right? You can visualize this. He ran. He didn't spit. He didn't scold. He didn't shame. He kissed him. Why? Because the father wasn't reacting to the son's apology. He was revealing what had been in his heart all along. It's always been in there, but the opportunity was never there. So the grace wasn't new, it was just exposed. And we're going to talk a lot about that today. The grace wasn't new, it was just exposed. The situation exposed something that was in the father's heart the whole time. But the older brother never got a chance to see it. And we'll get to that. Kind of jumping ahead. He didn't ask. You ever want to read the story? What didn't he ask? "Where have you been? You better earn your way back." He said, "Put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger, kill the fattened calf, let's celebrate." No punishment, no repayment plan, no cold shoulder. Why? Because real love runs. Because real grace restores. True grace, it's restorative. It's not reparative. It's restorative. Because the father knew something the son didn't. His identity was never lost, it was only buried. His identity as a father, it never changed for him. It just got buried. Third thing we're talking about is untapped grace in the older brother here. There's the other brother, bitter, jealous, and distant. He'd been in the house the whole time, but had never scratched the surface of the grace his father had for him. It was there, he just didn't access it. It was there, he just didn't understand it. It was there, but it was never exercised, so it wasn't realized. One time, I took my dad's car out. I was like 15 or 16, in New Jersey, so no license. And it was with a friend at the time, and him and my mom had gone out to go away for a while. So I was like, perfect. I waited an hour, found his key, took his car out for a drive, and they forgot something. So I'm sitting in the drive, like backing down the driveway, and they pull up. My dad said zero. Never brought it up. Because when he was seven, he took his father's pickup truck out. So there was grace there. It just got realized in my sin, in my in my sonisms, I guess, like father like son there. How many of us have grace sitting dormant in our relationships? With our dads, with our kids, with our parents, with ourselves? What if that breakthrough you need isn't new information, it's the activation of grace? I'll try to demonstrate what I mean by that. So here are some containers. This is the, can you guys see these? So this one's the smallest one here. It comes off, it's kind of cute, huh? Comes off the top there, and these stick together like a little kid. See, I've never passed kindergarten. There we go. All right, and then and this is the biggest one. This is pretty big, right? Compared to that one? All right. So then there's this one. Which one would you rather have? Depends, right? Depends. So, you don't want to get tricked here. I know you. You're good. You're a good audience. All right. So what was the issue with the son, the second son, right? Is his father filled this one with forgiveness, grace, love, right? And then his father, that it overflowed into this one, and then it went to this one, right? And then the grace overflowed into this one even. So now you got four full containers. And then this one was filled with grace for the son. But again, the older son had never experienced it, right? Because he stayed in the lines and he rode the right way, but it's been there the whole time. So some of the things that are in the big bucket of grace were the father seeing the son a long way off, right? The robe. Fancy robe fit in the grace bucket, right? He ran to see him, right? He threw a party. He gave him hugs. This is the one you'll like the best. He gave him kisses. So here's the problem with some of us. The grace won't fit in the cup that you have. the older brother, this was his grace cup. He could deal with a little tardiness. He could deal with a little half worked land, maybe. Yeah, I forgive my brother, but not the robe.
Not the robe. There's a ring in here somewhere, Mark. I know we brought the ring. But I had a ring.
Yes. Who asked about the fattened calf? All right, turn or click to your Bible to Ephesians for a second. So Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll just start. It's hard to break this one up. It's like one long sentence. So we'll just start in verse 11, 14, sorry. He says, so Ephesians 3, verse 14, he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its names." This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith." Check this part out. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp" what? "How wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." You may be filled with all the knowledge of God. Like, that is full. That everything can fit in here because it's wide and high and tall. Like, you can live a life before you get to heaven with all that love. And you wonder why the Bible says that it's God's grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It's His grace. It's the party. It's the rings and looking out for us and just understanding, like, oh my gosh. And for so many, we live on thin ice. Like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna fall in, I'm gonna fall in, I'm gonna fall in. I fell in, I fell in, I fell in. Oh, there's a big rescue company for falling in. There's a big rescue. Go, turn to Romans chapter 5. This scripture has to be taken into context, but you know what? It's in here and it says what it says. So go to Romans chapter 5. And in verse 20, we'll read, "The law was brought in so that the trespasses might increase. But where sin increased, grace" what? "Increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace may reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin raises, grace trumps. Sin raises, grace trumps. And then James just says, listen, when sin grows up and you just don't deal with it, it gives birth to death. I mean, if you're just going to totally go out there and tread the Son of God underfoot and live anyway, there is a penalty for that. You've let that sin grow up in your life. But if it's in grade school, if it's in middle school, if it's in high school, I'm personifying sin, and you're just dealing with it, and you're making sure that you're giving your best, and you're asking God for power, and we're confessing our sins, 1 John chapter 1, and it purifies us from all unrighteousness. You are golden, right? It's God's grace. We play that part, but where sin increases, grace increases all the more. How we doing? We doing good? All right, good. That's supposed to encourage you. Yay! See, we're a lot of us were like the second son. You're like, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know. No, God knows. God knows. All right. So the unmerciful servant, just make a note, it's Matthew 18. And so Matthew 18, Jesus tells a parable about a servant who owed the king 10,000 talents. This is a I tried to research this in today's terms, that's about $6 billion. That seemed high to me, but that's what today's research is saying. Imagine owing someone $6 billion. It's a whole lifetime of debt. It's a whole generational, it's many, many lifetime debt. So the king forgives it, all of it, just like that. But the servant turns around and chokes another man who owed him about $12,000. So he got forgiven the 6 billion, and he's choking a guy who can't give him the 12,000. Why? Because the grace he received never took root. It was in a quick celebration, and then it never rooted in his heart. It never changed him. He experienced forgiveness, but he couldn't extend it. Why? Because it never took root. It never changed him. And he couldn't give grace, so it didn't flow. The pipeline was blocked. The connection was tight, so grace wasn't tight, so grace leaked and it didn't reach the next person. That's why he was unmerciful. That's what unmerciful means, is the grace that you've been given, it gets stuck and doesn't leak out to that other person. It's interesting becoming a father of a father. You ever have one of those talks with your kids where they've got a good track record on your mistakes? And now all of a sudden, you've got it coming this way, the way I had it going towards my dad and my list of things that were funky and weird and twisted and generationally deficient. Now it's coming this way. Dad, can we have a talk? What do you want to talk about? Is it good? And it's tempting to be unmerciful, isn't it? It's tempting. Sometimes we get really hurt by someone in the church, someone around, and a leader who is helping with our kids or something. It's so tempting when we have a good case to just hold on. And as we hold on, bitterness will start to grow. And the grace that we've received and passed on evaporates. That's what bitterness is. It's an evaporation of our own grace, undealt with. So where do we need to come to our senses? Do I need to come to my senses in how we see our Father? Do I need to come to my senses in how I judged him unfairly or excused what must be addressed? Sometimes you got to excuse it. Sometimes you need to go to therapy. Sometimes you need to try to figure it out. Do I need to come to my senses about my own role as a dad? Am I holding on to pride, fear, or shame? Is there someone I need to forgive or ask forgiveness from? Some of you were hurt. Some of you did the hurting. Some of you inherited pain that wasn't even yours. But guess what? The great news is you can come to your senses. Woo! Yeah! You know what I figured out? I'm so happy. So I've been working on this for 40 years, and I joke, but I'm really not joking. This is hard, many nights I cried myself to sleep. I had a terrible, relationship with my dad, and but I kept working on it. I kept working on it. I kept working on it. And just when you think you're near the end and have some good ahas, because I think God works in small chunks. Sometimes it's this huge aha, but for me, it's just been year after year and just praying and the Holy Spirit and all that good stuff. But what's been so exciting is when I get to that part where I just can't figure it out, I'm like, oh, that's when I give grace. Right? Like the father, when the son ran, like he just was like, he didn't try to understand it. He didn't try to get into the psyche. He didn't try to like, so tell me, so when you asked for my land and you know that meant like you're dead to me, like tell me what you were thinking that morning. Like, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, so how many prostitutes did you have? Like the pig thing, that's interesting. What do you mean you were hungry for what they ate? Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that's all like stuff you could ask. But instead, the father just like, he was too busy getting the party going. He was too busy because he had already given grace. Like that was in him. That was what the son, the second son, when I say the good, like the one, the obedient one. The grace was there, but he never tapped it. It never got exposed. So, coming to our senses, I know that might not sound like exciting to you, like, Dave, really? Like, that's your big aha? Yes! Because otherwise, I'm like, man, why this and why that? And That was a really weird conversation, and my dad's been dead 12 years. So I can't ask him about it. So now I just go, yeah, that was really weird. Give grace. Okay, I'm good. Let's go. That's it. Like, why do I have to figure it out? Again, I think there are some times if you're just turning in now, there are some times where therapy is good. And I believe in that. And then I believe sometimes it's just really good to give grace, especially in between heavy sessions, you know, where you're not sure. So, okay, let's land the plane here. Pray and pray again. Ask your questions. Wonder out loud. Get help. Talk it out. Go deep. Have aha moments. It's never going to end. And dig deep into the bucket of grace. Because let me tell you something. Where the hugs are, and where the hugs and the party and the running and the seeing, all of this is found in the bucket of God's grace. So enjoy your bucket. Have a great Sunday. Have a great Father's Day. We are going to hear an awesome song as we meditate for communion. And it's Chris Tomlin just saying, Jesus loves me. Just if you don't know the song, just listen to it. If you know it, you can sing it, that's fine. As long as your neighbor doesn't mind too much. But here's the thing, seriously, let these words, if you've been holding on, if you've been the older brother lately, you know, if you've been not like the father with your kids or your young kids or grandkids, I know there's a lot going on there. There's my son right there back there. He's just coming with my little granddaughter. So seriously, all jokes aside. God is bigger. God knows what he's doing. I often thought if I would have had a dad that was my best friend, I had so many things that were going right in life, I probably never would have chose God. Again, that was a little aha as I just kept, he's like, yeah, you know, why would I need God if my dad and I were best friends? So God left that door, you know, the way it was, and it is what it is. But I'm so excited, guys. Let's grow our buckets of God's grace. Love you. Have a great Father's Day.